If you have your Bibles with you tonight, we're going to be in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter 37 tonight. Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to be looking at verses 1 through verse 14. This passage of Scripture deals with the Valley of Dry Bones. When Ezekiel is taken out by the Lord and he has this vision. And so why did I pick this text tonight? Well, as we were talking this morning about resurrection, about spiritual resurrection, about the judgment day resurrection, when all of those who have lived will be brought up together before God, I asked the question, well, is there an Old Testament basis for this? When Jesus was preaching that message to those at the time, at the Jews and those religious leaders, is there something that they should see, something that they should have known, something that may have sounded familiar to them? And is this idea found in the Old Testament? And I can think that in this passage we can clearly see it very clearly. And that's why I want us to go and take a look, because I always like us to understand the correlation of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Remember that at the time Jesus Christ came, there was no New Testament. I mean, the only Word of God that they had was what we consider the Old. And so He told them that if you would have known the Scriptures, if you would have been reading, if you would have been studying, if you understood, you would know that the Scriptures testify to Me. They testify about what I'm saying, that it is true and that it is accurate. And so we can always go in the Old Testament and find truths that Jesus taught. And I believe this is a truth here in itself. The Valley of Dry Bones, again, deals with the resurrection. So let's begin there in verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, or in the plain, and it was full of bones. And He led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, You know. Then He said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a sound, behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, or that's joints or tendons were beginning to grow, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Let's go to Him in prayer tonight. Lord God, tonight we thank You again for another Lord's Day, a day that we've set aside to come and to honor You and to praise You and to worship You. And God, we thank You for the communion that we have, God, that when we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, that, Lord, our spirits are uplifted, we're encouraged, dear God, when we see truths of Your Word, Lord, that it is spiritual food for our soul, and we thank You for it tonight. And God, it's my prayer that as we examine this passage again, that we would walk away learning and knowing more about you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. And so how we got here again, what is this speaking of? Well, this is a picture of resurrection in the Old Testament. And what do we mean by resurrection? Well, we mean that's being raised from the dead, that which is dead coming to life. And we said this morning that there are typically two different types of life or resurrection that's mentioned in the Bible. Actually, we could possibly say three, because we see some examples. One, raising the dead back to earthly life, meaning they were just brought back to life here on earth. We see some instances. Elijah raised the little widow's boy who had passed away, and he went in and laid upon him and prayed, and he came to life. Elisha, the one who come after Elijah, Elisha raised the Shunammite's son. We know that Jesus raised Jairus' daughter and Lazarus. And then there's also in the Acts of the New Testament, Peter and Paul also bringing those back, resurrecting those. One who was sick, and then another who had fell from the window. Paul went and he was brought back to life. And so there's that temporary resurrection of the earthly life. But then this morning we saw the two other types, the resurrection of spiritual life, meaning being brought about unto eternity and eternal life. And then there is that other type of resurrection when the physical bodies of everyone will be called together in the final judgment. And then that will be cast to those who have done good to eternal life and those who have done evil into judgment. So tonight, I want us to look and see, though, this picture of an Old Testament passage that paints spiritual life. The bringing back again of a dead body, or those who are dead spiritually. It's a picture of those, these dry bones, because as we end the passage, the word of the Lord tells us that this is speaking of the children of Israel. So tonight I want us to look at that. First thing that I want us to take a look at the beginning of this passage tonight is the condition of the bones. It says that he was brought out in the spirit and set what? In the middle of the valley. That they were in the middle of the valley. They were out here almost in a desert type place, all alone, deserted, stranded, so to speak. They weren't in a place that was surrounded by life, that was surrounded by things that were thriving and growing. No, it was out, a picture out in the valley or out in the plain, all alone, deserted, outcast. And then what does it also say? It says that they were full of bones. It was full of bones. There were many bones. It was full of bones. And he said, he led me around, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And he goes on to say what? They were very dry. So we have a picture of these bones being stranded, being deserted, being all alone out there, wasting away. The picture that they are very dry means that they had been there for quite some time. You know, this is, all of us maybe in the woods have come across an animal that had been killed or had died, and the animals have come and ate away the flesh, and there's just these old bones, and after a while that sun just begins to bake down and they can get to where they're brittle and they break. And so it's a condition of these bones is the idea that they are, again, they've been there a long time, that they're scattered, that they're deserted, that they're all alone. The next thing that I want us to see here is the command that was given to these bones. The question was asked of the prophet. He said, "Son of man," in verse 3, "can these bones live?" Now, if that question was posed to us, I mean, can you imagine this picture that here he is in this place, and there's just these scattered bones everywhere, and he's presented with the question, do you think that think it's possible that these bones could live? I believe that Ezekiel here, he makes a statement of his faith. He doesn't say, "No, Lord, there's no way that can happen. That's impossible. What are you serious? I mean, look, it's bones. What can they do?" No, that's not what he says. I think properly and rightly he says, "Well, Lord, oh God, you know. I mean, I don't know if they can or not. I don't think that they can, but Lord, you know." So he asked that question, is it possible for dry bones to live? And I would say, That as we look at this picture, I want us to understand that that is the reality that we see today in this spiritual world that we live in. It's what I was speaking of this morning. You see that we are living in a valley of dry bones, to be honest. That the world is full of those who are spiritually deserted, spiritually stranded, spiritually all alone. And they don't have an understanding of God. And they are just in this state, lifeless when it comes to spiritual things. So he asks him and he tells him to do this. What does he do? He gives him that command. This is what you're to do in verse 4. He says what? Prophesy over these bones. And what does he mean by prophesy? Basically, preach. Proclaim, give the message, tell what the Lord has said. That's what, in a way, what I do. Preaching could be considered prophesying. It means giving a word from the Lord, something that God has spoken, something that God has said, and proclaiming that truth to others. He's saying, preach to these bones, prophesy to these bones, say these things to the bones, say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Man, like we said this morning, you see, this is a picture of that the word of the Lord is able to do the impossible, isn't it? And as we continue to study John on down the line, there's an old man that we know is called Lazarus. We know that he is in a tomb, and the women and the ladies there are afraid that, Lord, you sure you want to try this? Hey, man, he probably not smelling too hot by now. It's been 4 days. Dead. And in that passage, he calls him out. And that's what he's telling Ezekiel here. Prophesy, tell these bones to listen to the word of God, to the word of the Lord. And what is he going to do through this word? He said, I will cause breath to enter. And you shall live, in verse 5. And he goes on in verse 6 to explain the covering of the bones. So we've looked at the condition. They're deserted, they're stranded, they're out in the desert, all alone, dry. And this command has come, and then he's going to cover these bones. He says, I will lay sinews upon you. That sinews is these tendons and all of the muscles and all the ligaments that would need to hold bones in structure. You know, as you go into physiology in class, you know, we have the skeletal system, which is our bones that gives us our strength. That's so we're not just a blob of water rolling around. You know, our bones give us that steady structure. But what are they done? They're supported by all these connective tissues, by tendons, by muscles, and all these things work with one another, you know, make our arms move, to make our legs move, to make our bodies able. We have all this, these muscles and these tendons and these things come together to hold all the bones together. And that's the picture here that these sinews, there's this joining together of the tendons and all that connective musculature will cause the flesh to come upon you. And I will cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. It's a picture of that which is, again, broken, that which is lifeless, being drawn together by the command of the Lord, being pulled together, and each bone, each piece being put in the right place. So what does Ezekiel do? He does that very thing. And it says in verse 7, so I prophesied, and I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, what? There was a sound. And behold, a rattling of the bones, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. Man, can you just picture that? I mean, you know, just old, I mean, they start a rattling and shaking. That word rattle almost means tremble, as if it was like an earthquake. I mean, it's this moving, it's this quaking or shaking. I mean, can you imagine just, you know, this all these bones just rattling, and man, they're starting to move. You think, man, wow, that's impressive, isn't it? What is that? You know, sometimes I see some of these cartoons, maybe Scooby-Doo or something, you know, and there's the old bone, a dinosaur or something that comes together and chases after. But, you know, we have this imagery of, man, this vividness. These bones are moving, they're rattling, they're shaking. And what do? They begin to come together. bone to its bone, each joint being in place, each connective tissue, the musculature being placed upon it, covering this covering of the bones. He said, "I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had come and covered over them." It's the making new of this body. All of a sudden, these bones have come, and now they have been turned into flesh and meat. But I want us to notice something. We still just have flesh and blood, flesh and bone, don't we? Because what does he say at the end of that? Verse 8, "But there was no breath in them." See, it was just still an empty body, just an empty corpse. I think that's a picture of many people today. Yes, I mean, yes, I'm alive. You can't tell me that I'm dead spiritually. I mean, look at me. I'm here. That's what people want to say. Look, you can touch me. I'm alive. And while, yes, they have bones and they have flesh and they have all these things here on this earth, you see, inside, deep within, when we take a look at their spiritual status, there's no breath there. There's no life there. They have not been resurrected by the Spirit of God. They are laying there as a lifeless spiritual corpse, waiting for the breath of God to breathe into them, the breath of life. So at the end of verse 8, we have no breath left. Now I want us to see the conversion of these bones. See, these bones are converted from death into life. He says in verse 9, "Then what? Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe and breathe on these slain that they may live." See, the Lord is the only one that can give us that spiritual breath of life. He is the source of life. It is that breath that was breathed into Adam, the first created man. And here we see the man of God is calling on the Lord to breathe breath into this bones. And we sing that song, "Holy Spirit, breathe on me, breathe on me." It's the picture here. We're asking Him to fill us with life. "Lord, breathe into my lungs. Give me a fresh breath of heavenly air, spiritual air. Not this old muggy Louisiana humid air." No. So we have this conversion. So what does he do? Verse 10. So he prophesied. He listened to the command of the Lord, and he prophesied, and he commanded him, and he said, and then the breath, what had happened when he did what the Lord said? The breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet. By the preaching of the word and the command of the Lord, life is brought upon these bones. Life is brought upon this flesh. And it says that they lived, and that they stood on their feet. And what happened? Suddenly there was an exceedingly great army. Man, boy, isn't that a beautiful picture? I mean, how powerful is God that He can raise up an army of soldiers? He can raise up an army of believers. He can raise up an army of a church. Even John the Baptist in the New Testament, he says that he could raise up descendants from Abraham from these stones. Our God can do that. Here we have a picture of a great army, an army of the Lord that's been brought alive by the message and the word of the Lord, and it has been breathed on by the Spirit of the Lord. See, God is able to resurrect us, to bring us. And that leads us to our confidence, the confidence of these bones. You see, then he says to him, "Son of man," he's telling him and explaining to him what he has just seen. He says, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." Does that just mean that little place overseas? No, that means Israel, God's chosen, God's children, God's people, those who are called, those who are born again, Israel. We are the descendants of David and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those. We have been brought in. We've been adopted. Remember, we are children of God. You see, we are a part of this house. He said, behold, they say our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are indeed cut off. How many times has the church made that cry? How many times has the church said these things? Oh Lord, don't you see us here? God, we're struggling along. God, we're trying to make it happen. Lord, we're trying to, you know, God, we're cut off. We're surrounded. Lord, we need your help. What's this picture? He's saying, you go tell those children of mine, that house of mine, those who think that it's all over, that they're wasting away, that there's no hope, you go and tell them this. In verse 12, he says, you prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and when I raise you from your graves, oh my people. Man, what a beautiful promise as children of God. It's what we saw this morning. It's a promise that we will be called back. This old perishable body will put on the imperishable. We'll be made eternal. How's that going to look? What's that body going to look like? I don't know. But listen, we're just seeing a picture here that God can draw bones from all over this desert plain and make it into an army. You see, He can bring us, even if we've returned to the dust, even if there's nothing remaining of this old flesh and bone, He's going to call us back together, bring us forth, raise us up, and take us into the land. Verse 14, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. You see, the confidence that we have as children of God, the confidence that this promise is being made to this old valley of dry bones, it's not that they got to do it by themselves. It's not that they're depending on themselves to clean themselves up, to get it all together, to make it all happen, to work there, to bring it all to pass. No. Who's in charge of this? God, I will open your graves. I will bring you into the land of Israel. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. Why? Because I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. See, our confidence of making it to the promised land is not based on our ability to get there on our own, brothers and sisters. No. Our confidence is that we will be brought there. We will be brought there by God who has declared it Himself. And what does He say? I have spoken, I will do it. He will. He will. Why we as believers, we as Baptists believe in the perseverance of the saints, meaning that we will get there, that we are not holding on to God and slipping and falling and letting go and being lost into eternity. No, it's a picture that this God who called us out, that we're spiritually dead, that we're lying there like this valley of bones with no life, with no hope, that He has spoke to our hearts, He has spoke to our souls, He has rose that spiritual body, He has breathed into it the very Spirit of God. And what He is saying is that at that time when the final judgment comes, when that final resurrection of this physical body, this same Word will go forth to these bones, it will go forth to these souls, to these spirits, and the God who created heaven and earth and all things will call us to Himself. Amen. Why? Because He has declared it. He has brought it to pass, and He says that He will do it. Amen. Isn't that good? That just makes me want to, as preachers say, go charge hell with a water pistol. Amen. I mean, just makes you want to go and get after it. Why? Because it ain't us. It's not about us. It's not about how great and good and mighty we are. No, God raises up His army by His power. And He delivers the enemy in our hand. Amen. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer this evening, and then we'll have a hymn to dismiss. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this day, God. I thank You for, Lord, this beautiful picture God, of resurrecting life, dear Father. Lord God, that you have the power to call upon these dry bones. That God, you call upon the spiritually dead. And Lord, as Jesus said this morning, that when we hear that voice, the voice of the Son of God, those that hear and those that believe are passed from death into life that is eternal. And God, we understand that it is all brought about by your mighty power, Lord God, and by your promises and your word. And Lord, we're so thankful, God, that we can be called children of God, that we are a house of Israel, that we've made and been adopted into your family, dear God. And Lord, that this promise speaks to us, that as this life passes away and as this flesh and bone pass away, and Lord, as we get physically weary and tired of this journey, dear God, that your spirit is in us. God, it gives us strength, it gives us encouragement, it gives us direction. And Lord God, that it delivers us from the enemy into your loving arms, into your hands, into eternity. And Lord, we thank you for that tonight. God, we thank you for this body of believers here that you've joined together. God, each of us having a specific purpose. Lord, you've given us all a specific talent, a specific gift. Lord, just as we saw the pictures of these bones being united, dear Father, that as a body of Christ, dear Lord, that each one of us as members, dear God, that we come together, Lord, each of us doing our part, working together in unity with Christ at our head, dear Father, with the cross before us, walking and moving, Lord, in unity one with another, striving, dear God, to fulfill the promises and the purposes that you have for us. Lord, allow us to do that faithfully, God. We love you tonight. We thank you for your many blessings, dear God. Be with us as we leave this place, dear Lord. Be with those who are sick. God, you know each heart. You know each need in our community that's been mentioned, Lord. Again, be with us as we leave. Guide and direct us. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.